This is for Frank Williams. I will trust in the Lord.
Treat every body right.
You that's trusting in the Lord, just wave your hand. In the Lord, you got to hang on in there anyhow. Can I get a witness in here? In the Lord, wait a minute. In the Lord, bring it down one more time. In the Lord, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. If I had Frank Williams here tonight, he would come on down and he would tell you, he would say, in the Lord, yeah. He would say, in the Lord, yeah. Y'all don't like this tonight. And, Frank would tell you, when I was sick, the Lord touched my body. We don't have him here tonight, but we got James Lord here. And I can tell you, God's been good to me. He made a way out of no way. In the Lord. Come on, choir. In the Lord. In the Lord. Can you help us say it? In the Lord. In the Lord. He's a rock in a weary land.
And you caught it first on The Wave.
Catch The Wave on the NFI, coming to you live from Raleigh, North Carolina, in the studio of the NFI Gospel Network.
Gospel music at its best. Catch The Wave on the NFI. In HD2. Come on in, we've been expecting you. Catch The Wave.
Somebody out there, maybe a worker. You know, when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he included the words, "Give us this day our daily bread." And then old man Paul picked it up in Philippians 4 and 19 and said that he would supply all of our needs. That God would supply our needs according to his riches and glory. And all we have to do is just go to him and ask. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Christ and messenger, we'll have to go from here. And we'll have to share this love that Christ gave to every one of us. To every one of us. And show someone the love. And show someone the love.
Came in. Yeah, he did it for me, y'all. just what you said.
But I'm flowing with heaven's philosophy, bringing hope where there's atrocity, and the truth where there's hypocrisy. No longer ruled by the laws of humanity, being free from induced conformity. I'm waking up from the pseudo reality, cause now I know my true identity. I'm telling you this time, I'm not gonna fear. This time, I'm not going away. This time, I won't run and hide. This time, I won't compromise. This time, I'm gonna love hard. This time, I'm gonna live smarter. This time, I'm gonna be even bolder. This time, this time, this time, this time. I'm free from all the guilt people try to put on me. Self-inflicted wounds, that was my worst enemy. But I'm conquered that war, I don't fight it no more. I'm free to walk through all these doors, dancing, smiling, living, sing the praise up to the true king that's reigning. I'm free from opinion, walking dominion. That's why I win.
Yeah. This time, I'm not gonna be. This time, I'm not going away. This time, I won't run and hide. This time, I won't compromise. This time, I'm gonna love harder. This time, I'm gonna live smarter. This time, I'm gonna be even bolder. This time, this time, this time, this time. I know God, He lives inside of me. I will walk with all authority.
The past and people had me undermined before. My false prayers and with things they were told. It seemed there was no hope for my own restored. Restricted face of how the enemy assault. There were times when I didn't want to show my face, but through it all you still cover me with your grace. But now I'm totally healed, to me your glory's revealed. The emptiness of spirit I feel.
I'm not gonna be this time. I'm not going away this time. I won't run and hide this time. I won't compromise this time. I'm gonna love harder this time. I'm gonna live smarter this time. I'm gonna be even bolder this time. This time. This time.
I'm not going away.
This time,
I won't run and hide.
This time,
I won't compromise.
This time,
I'm gonna love harder.
This time,
I'm gonna live smarter.
This time,
I'm gonna be even bolder.
This time,
this time,
this time,
this time.
Well, how many can say I'm still willing to run? Well, you don't have to tell me, but he already know. You can tell a neighbor, Lord, I'm willing, willing to run on all the way. Lord, I'm willing, willing to run on all the way.
All the way.
Pain by heartache, scorn
great and small, the times of victory and when I fall. I'm so grateful that I'm still standing tall. I thank you for my tears. The pain helped me overcome my fears. You've been good to me down throughout the years. It's a miracle that I'm still standing here. All that I am is the God. All that you brought me through. And everything I survive, it's all because of you.
We'll be right back. Yes, sir. Every day.
Every day when I wake up.
Like this tonight. Though I have cried many nights, and there have been battles I've had to fight, but it's still worth out for my good, because my trust was all in you. And there was time I felt discouraged, but you were right there to give me the courage.
From the block, willwe.com, and pray for open doors. Tell me if there's room for Jesus in the ghetto. Tell me if there's room for Jesus in the ghetto. Tell me if there's room in the ghetto. Tell me if there's room in the ghetto.
Jesus wasn't born in the suburbs. His pictures were altered, but it gets more awkward. Imagine living with the fact your daddy ain't your father. And gentrification got you living somewhere hotter. Mama look like you know. Daddy consider him broke. Carpenter wages are low. Used to seeing blood in his oak. His gang are all chose, but they got to face the foes. If he showed them he was God, man, they wouldn't come close.
No, no. My prayer ain't yours.
No, ain't.
I come from the block, but we dodge cops and pray for open doors.
Pray,
oh, tell me, is there room for Jesus,
Jesus
in the ghetto?
In the
tell
ghetto.
Me, is there room for Jesus,
Jesus
in the ghetto?
In the
tell
ghetto.
Me, is there room
in the ghetto.
Ghetto? Tell me, is there room in the ghetto?
Ghetto?
Oh, I need to know if there's
somewhere in the ghetto.
When he gets back to Nazareth, he's Jesus from Egypt. Can't tell that boy nothing, he talked back to the teachers. He turned up with the fam, he turned order to wine. He turned over tables, super turnt, telling me why. Why the man been on his back, no cap since a newborn. He just trying to save his homie, Groupon. If they give their life for a homie, that's a true one. If he come back to life for a homie, that's a true bond.
No. My prayers are you.
Now you taking my part now. I'm from the block where we dot com and pray for open doors. Oh, tell Jesus, God's room.
Tell me God's room. Jesus.
Yeah, in the ghetto.
In the ghetto.
Anthony Hamilton.
Jesus in the ghetto.
Shirley Baptist.
So many people losing faith right now.
Church people.
In the ghetto.
In the ghetto.
Temple. So let me testify. I was born in Haiti. My daddy was a minister. He believed in having churches in the hood, you know what I mean? He brought us to Newark, New Jersey after Brooklyn. 1108 South Orange Avenue. Let me take you back to a gospel, Caribbean vibes felt like in that church.
Hello God,
hello, hello God,
hello,
hello God.
Ladies and gentlemen,
hello,
we got another testimony.
Hello, 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 hello,
I feel in the darkness of the night, and in the valley you're right by my side. And though I think it's strange, each time I run from pain, when that's the tool you use to make me right, so I say,
holy, 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 pick your shoes off. This ground is holy.
So I say,
holy, 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 take your shoes off.
Whatever comes my way,
hello.
God.
So yeah, man, I need something crazy. Like, it's summertime. I want something fly, something kind of fast, but, you know, still swaggy, you know, some luxury. But I want something that's going to drive people crazy. When I pull up, it's got to be crazy, man. Like, for real. So hopefully you got something for me, man.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, rappers come here all the time, and I don't take crack money, all right? But you, I see something different. You know, I see the light in the day, all right? So I got something for you, all right? I saw your Christian Credit Union score. I mean, man, it blew me out.
Hey, baby.
It blew me out. So I think I got something for you. We can deck it out real nice. May even come with a Bible.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
Just a joke. I got something for you.
Yeah. Wait a second, let me brag on my God. Hear the truth, yeah, he's showing off. Yeah, I promise you never took a loss. If I'ma tell it, I gotta tell it all. Wait a second, let me brag on my God. Hear the truth, I ain't just telling y'all. You can count it, he never took a loss. And if I'ma tell it, I gotta tell it all. Hold on, wait a second, let me brag on my. I love my God, he keeps some bands on me. You may say I'm tripping, I'm your fan only. I love the time that we be spending low-key. And I know they rockin' with me with his hands on me. Oh, this is all I know. I know you're riding with me when the times get low. So I be on a mission till your plan I go. And I can tell you vibe with me. You protect me from every weapon. And every lesson is a blessing. And there's a reason why I'm reppin'. Hold on, wait a second, wait a second. Let me brag on my God. Hear the truth, yeah, he's showing off. Yeah, I promise you never took a loss. If I'ma tell it, I gotta tell it all. Wait a second, let me brag on my God. He's a true friend, just telling y'all. You can count it, he never took a loss. And if I'ma tell it, I gotta tell it all. Hold on, wait a second, let me brag on my. Every time I think about your love, love, love. Finally got somebody I could trust, trust, trust. Why you keeping me, I really just don't know. As you can see, we got it going up, oh, up. Yeah, because of you. I can't lose. And all that hating, they talking, it ain't true. And I'ma tell the world, cause they gotta know. You protect me from every weapon. And every lesson is a blessing. And there's a reason why I'm rapping. Hold on, wait a second, wait a second. Let me brag on my God. Hear the truth, yeah, he's showing off. Showing off. Yeah, I promise you never took a loss. If I'ma tell it, I gotta tell it all. Wait a second, let me brag on my God. Hear the truth, I ain't just telling y'all. You can count it, he never took a loss. And if I'ma tell it, I gotta tell it all. Hold on, wait a second, let me brag on my. Brag on my. Brag on my. Wait a second, let me brag on my God. Hear the truth, yeah, he's showing off. Yeah, I promise you never took a loss. If I'ma tell it, I gotta tell it all. Wait a second, let me brag on my God. Hear the truth, I ain't just telling y'all. You can count it, he never took a loss. And if I'ma tell it, I gotta tell it all. Hold on, wait a second, let me brag on my.
Good morning, we are right at the bottom of the hour. I am your radio host, Faith. We are live from the NFI Radio Gospel Network, Raleigh, North Carolina. Join us on our website, or listen by dialing 347-215-8049, and catch the wave.
Thank you.
Okay, here we go. Prank phone call.
Hey, we got, you know, we're going to try to do something for, you know, like Lil Darryl.
Okay, Lil Darryl.
Yeah.
Okay, let's try it. Here we go. Mm-hmm. I'm going to call. I'm going to go ahead and dial a number now.
Okay.
Hello?
I'm trying to reach Dan. Brother Dan. Dan.
Hold on. Let me cut the TV down.
Brother Dan.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Brother Scott from the church, from Bethel Baptist.
Hello, brother.
Dan, I call you. I'm trying to get a little information about the church van. What's your schedule? You drive the church van. What's your schedule?
I drive it Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays.
Okay, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. Now, Sunday, what is that schedule?
Oh, well, Sunday, I usually start about 8 o'clock in the morning, probably a little earlier, depending on some of the elderly people that I have to go pick up and bring to the church, make sure they get there okay and get situated and make sure they're on time for the service and whatnot.
Okay, and then you take them back home after service is over?
Yes, I try to get all of them back home unless they got family members or something that come up there and meet them up there and want to take them to dinner or something afterwards. But I usually get everybody back home.
Okay. Now, this past Sunday, which is part of the reason why I'm calling you, they saying that some of the church members that was on the van this Sunday, they are complaining, saying that that the church van was smelling like weed when they got on there.
Excuse me?
They say the church van was smelling like weed when they got on there, and you are the person that was driving them.
Not the van that I'm driving. I ain't smoke weed in no van.
Do you smoke weed?
No, I don't smoke weed. I mean, not currently. I mean, I have before, but I don't smoke weed now. And I wouldn't smoke weed before picking some people up to go to church. Now, where are you getting it from? Who told you this?
Well, all I know is what's come down the pipeline is they saying that a couple of the members came complaining
this just happened last week about this pipeline. I want to know who the pipeline is because just last week they came at me talking about that I was using the van to go places that I wanted to go to on my personal time. Now, I don't do that. I don't do stuff like that. Now, I done had a past. I done had a history. But I don't do stuff like that, and I wasn't smoking no van. So are you seriously talking?
We're trying to get to the bottom of it and see what's going on with you.
Well, what elderly person said it? Do you know which one?
I don't know.
They love me. Every Sunday, them people tell me they love me. They say I'm one of the most respectful young gentlemen they've ever met in their life. And so I really find it hard to believe that you getting these type of complaints about me.
Okay, well, one of them says, smell like ooh-wee. I don't know what that means or nothing like that.
Look, brother, now I don't know you too well, and I know you don't know me, but I've been driving this van as a point to try to change my life and where I come from. So this was something that I wanted to volunteer, even though I'm getting paid, to give my time to do this for the church. And now this is like the second instance where y'all done came at me on some stuff about like I'm trying to do something with this van. Now why would I disrespect the church van by smoking weed in it and then letting the weed stay in there so other people could smell it?
Okay, so let me tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go out here to the church van today. We're going to go out here today and open it up. Now, if we see any seeds or anything around the driver's seat, then we're going to definitely have a thing appointment.
We're going to open the van up. Man, I was raised in that church, man. My mama go to that church. My grandma, she go to that church. She the reason we even all at that church. And you think I'm going to mess up the name by driving around in a van full of elderly people smoking some weed?
Then why do it smell like weed, Brother Dan?
I don't know why the van smell like weed, man. Now, I don't got the answers to these questions. I'm just trying to tell you that it wasn't me.
Did you have some weed in your pocket and maybe it would just smell it?
I ain't had no weed on me. Stop trying to say like I had weed on me. And you ain't going to give me nothing. I ain't had no weed on me, okay? Now, you ain't going to mess up my name or my family's name in this church and disrespect us like this. Now, we've been helping this church for years, and I'm trying to tell you that I ain't riding around in no van smoking no weed with no elderly people. Did you ask any of the elderly people if they had any weed on them?
No, I didn't think about no elderly people having no weed.
So you just assume it's me. What if one of them got glaucoma or something?
What? You know what? You know who I think? You know who I think the weed belonged to?
Who?
Damn, you just got pranked. Oh my God. You just got pranked. What is his name? His name is Lawrence.
Oh my goodness.
Larry. They call him Larry, but his name is Lawrence.
Oh man, I know exactly. Tell Larry he in trouble with me. I'm gonna hit him with the van.
Hey, I got one more thing to ask you, man. What is the baddest, and I mean the baddest, radio show in the land?
Man.
The NFI Radio Gospel Network.
Woo. Come on, it's a song of intercession. All of these songs we keep singing. All of this praise we keep bringing, yeah. When it's all said and done, yeah, we just want you to come.
Hey!
These hands we keep raising, these prayers we keep praying, when it's all said and done, yeah, we just want you to come. Here's our prayer, Lord.
glory fall. Oh God, let your glory fall. Oh, somebody make that your prayer. Wherever you are right now, just ask him, say, let your glory fall. That's what we really want. God, it's what we really need. We want more of your glory. Less of me and more of you. Less of us and more of you. God, we don't want them to see us. We want them to see you. So we get out the way today. We move ourselves out of the way. Oh, somebody, make that your prayer. I'm getting out of the way. I'm moving out of the way. To let your glory fall. We don't want to drive your glory. We don't want to control the glory. We are carriers of glory. So you do what you want to do. And when you move, that's when we'll move. Woo! When you move, that's when we'll move. Let your glory fall. God, your people cry out today that we want to get out of the way. We cry out with a heart of repentance that we're moving out of your way. We've tried so many other ways. We just wanted your way. Oh my God, we just wanted your way. We just wanted your way. There's no other way. So we throw away our agendas. We lay aside all of our pride. With a heart of repentance, we are moving out the way. We are moving out your way. Throw away our agendas. That's what we're doing. Lay aside all of our pride. With a heart of we are moving. We are moving out the way. Getting out of your way. We are moving. Say it again, say throw away. God, we lay aside our pride.
Lay aside all of our pride.
With a heart of repentance. We're moving out the way. Somebody pray that, say, all we want is you.
comes in. All we want, when you move, joy comes in. All we want, cause when you move, love comes in. All we want, when you move, we find justice. All we want, see, all we want is you to move. All we want, all we want,
all we want is you.
So let it fall, let it fall, let it fall. Let your glory fall, let it fall. Let it fall, let it fall, let your glory fall, let your glory fall, oh, let your glory fall. We want the weight of your glory, we want the weight of your glory. We want the weight of your glory. We want the weight of your glory. Come in our way, anything that's not like you. All we want is you. All we want is you to move. We're moving out your way. We're moving out your way. Cause it's not about us. Cause it's not about us. No, it's not about us. It's all about you. And we're moving out your way. The moves. All we wanted you to move. We will move when you move. Oh my God, just wanna be in sync with you. Hallelujah. 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 You get the glory. Hallelujah. You get the praise. Hallelujah. You get the glory. Hallelujah. You get the praise. Hallelujah. Forever you get the glory. Hallelujah. God, you get it. Hallelujah. You get the glory. Hallelujah. You get the praise. When the healing comes, you get the glory. When the freedom comes, you get the praise. When the justice comes, you get the glory. Hallelujah. You get the praise. Nobody else for you. Nobody else for you. Nobody else for you. Nobody else for you. Cause when the peace comes, you get the glory. When the love comes, you get the glory. You get the glory.
You get the glory.
You get the glory.
You get the glory.
Out of my life. Out of my life. Out of my life. In every situation. Every miracle. Every time. You get the glory. Nobody else for you.
You get the glory.
Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You get the praise.
You get the praise.
There's always somebody talking about me. Really, I don't mind. They try to stop and block my progress most of the time. The mean thing they say don't make me feel bad. I can't miss the win I never had yet.
I got Jesus.
Good God Almighty. Let me tell you this right here. So many times I didn't have a dime. I told nobody for the Lord. I said he heard. I'm
You sure enough know you got Jesus. When I count to three, I just want you to jump up like these young folks doing and give God some praise. Y'all get ready. One, two, three, I got
get an amen late.
I remember my sister Mary would get beat by her husband who was the deacon in the church. And the whole church knew, but no one would say anything. But I remember so clearly she was in the kitchen washing dishes and she would encourage herself.
Just don't know what to do. Like nothing's good.
Have you tried praying? So if you could talk to God, and you can tell him anything, what would you tell him?
When he would leave the house, she would say,
Lord, deliver me.
When you ball it up inside, it creates tornadoes in your tummy. Energy sparks emotions. You're motivated by lots of pressure. Hatred is a small gesture. Yes, sir. See you nauseous over this nonsense. Friends should just be friends. But it's hard to tell your conscience. Paralyzed by the pain, smoothing on is just a concept. Imperfected, my perfection, I'm only half of what you want. Half of what you need, baby.
Deliver me, all these things are doing.
up in the hood. When you got to liking girls, you had to have a lot of them. That was the cool factor. And it might still be, you know. We rappers and hip-hop's gotta change the cool factor. We gotta start loving on our loved ones. I've never hit a woman and I never will. But mentally I've done the same damage. And I just wanna say I'm sorry. We never know what we're doing.
What we're doing.
We need a real Christian Sunday kind of guy. One that crosses his fingers when he lies, crosses his heart and hopes to die. Cross his T's and dots his I. Cross his tassel when he crossed the stage, crossing over pledging beta phi. You need a good guy. And I'm just a PK with two crosses on. I have singing rapper that could pin a song. But I guess perfection is boring. You want somebody.
Coming your way. Want to remind you, coming up right here, the bottom of the hour, 9:30 this morning, they are back, and we're going to be coming back with To Beat the Odds. That's right. The number one talk show on this NFI Radio Gospel Network by request, and we had been out for a couple of months, and we received phone calls, and everybody wanted to know when is To Beat the Odds going to be coming back on the air. So we are back on the air, and look, I will be hosting it today. We're going to have a deep discussion this morning. We're going to be talking on the topic of, as a Christian, is it possible to love God and love the world? That's coming up right here on the NFI To Beat the Odds topic again. As a Christian, is it possible to love God and love the world? A program designed for men and women, what you're going through, a spiritual need, or if you're dealing with financial, or you just need an uplift. When testimonies about people who have been blessed from the Lord Almighty. Now, it's To Beat the Odds, the number one talk show right here from the NFI studios, live in Raleigh, North Carolina, with a panel of men and women coming forth with the topic this morning. And what a topic we've got this morning for you. Once again, the topic this morning on the NFI Radio Gospel Network: as a Christian, is it possible to love God and love the world? Again, the topic this morning: as a Christian, is it possible to love God and love the world? My goodness, that's right. I'm going to be the host this morning. Yours truly, Thurlin Kearney. And we have some awesome men and women of God joining us back this morning. It's Elder Kerry Harris, pastor of Word of Deliverance Ministries out of Raleigh, North Carolina. Again, awesome man of God coming from Greensboro, North Carolina. It's Mr. Michael Booker and several other guests as well joining the broadcast this morning. Feel free to give us a call if you'd like to make your comment in regarding to the topic this morning. You can call 347-215-8049. Again, that number, 347-215-8049. We're going to be right here to answer your phone call where you can share your comment in regarding to the topic this morning. It's all coming up right here. Now, let's get started right here to Beat the Odds here on the NFI Radio Gospel Network.
Oh, bless you, bless you. Good morning to everybody. How you feeling?
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning.
I'm feeling awesome.
Amen, amen. It's a time to feel awesome. It's a time to give God praise. And I want to thank each and every one of you that are here today, back again. Want to thank you for coming back again today. And those of you that has joined us this morning, you're on the Beat the Odds, always a blessing for each and every one of you to tune in to catch the wave. All right, well, we're going to get started with this topic. We've already shared the topic, and those that have been probably sharing to somebody else to tune in today, well, look, you can call in as we go forward. Call here at the studios if you would love to express and share your comment in regarding of the topic. All right, Brother Booker, can you lead us in a word of prayer this morning?
Oh, yeah, most certainly, Reverend Kearney. Father, we thank you again for allowing us to come on the airways. And Father, we ask you that you would speak to us on this day, that your words would be heard for everyone that's out there in radio land listening, that they would be encouraged, they would be empowered. Most importantly, Father, that they know that you love them. And Father, so we thank you and we give you praise and glory now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, 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 hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, look, by request, we had people want to know when were we going to come back, and we are back, and I tell you, it's going to be hotter than it was the last time we were off the air. So those of you, get ready, get ready, get ready. Today's topic is, as a Christian, is it possible to love God and love the world? Again, the number 347-215-8049. If you would love to share and call in to make a comment. All right. Anyone would love to start off? And first of all, let me ask the question. What is a Christian? What is a Christian?
A Christian is a person that is a follower of Christ. He's Christ-like. Whatever Christ did is what we as Christians want to do. That's where we take the word Christ. That's Christ. That's the first part of the word Christian. In other words, our behavior should be as Christ's behavior.
Amen. Brother Booker, can you... She pretty much covered a lot. Would you like to add on?
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. I mean, she said, you know, being a Christian is you know, being Christ-like. You know, we're being, you know, conformed and made into the image of the likeness of his dear son, the Bible says, which is Jesus Christ. So being a Christian, yes, is accepting Jesus Christ into your life, being filled with his spirit, and endeavoring to be and do as he did and done.
Amen. You know, I asked that question, what is a Christian? And don't you feel good to be on the other side? Isn't a wonderful feeling that you have each and every day in your life?
Amen. Amen.
It gives you that joy to know that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. Am I right?
Amen.
Amen.
And you And, you know, I was talking to my nieces about it earlier today, where a lot of people decide, well, I'm not going to get saved now because I'll be looking back wanting to do this and that and the other. But, you know, when you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, you don't look back and think, I want to do this, because what happens is when you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, he changed what it is you want.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Yes. And I'm glad I'm changed. I praise God I'm changed. I thank God for those that knew me when I used to be. Oh, my goodness. Oh, boy, I had a story to tell. And I guess many that are listening today feel the same way. There are things that, you know, we used to do it. The word let us know that old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. So as we continually move forward, we see the greatness of the Lord in our life. All right. Well, now, as we address the Christian part, now the question is, as a Christian, is it possible to love God and love the world? Who want to start us off with it? Is it possible?
No.
Excuse me,
I'm sorry, but I had to come up in there on that. It's go not
ahead,
possible because the words say you will either cling to one and hate the other, but you can't love them both. You can't do it. And another thing, the word says, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So if you are unstable, I can't depend on you, and God can't either.
That's right.
Amen. 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 Brother Booker.
Reverend Curtis, you know, the word says that if you love the world, then the love of the Father is not in you.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot love God and love the world. You cannot love God and love the world system either. See, that's where, you know, we run into trouble, Reverend Kearney, because, you know, the Bible says we're in the world, but not of the world. You know, mm-hmm. And that means that we're in it, but how we conduct ourselves has to be different. You know, how we mm-hmm. perceive our lives has to be different. You know, we have to operate by a different group and a different set of rules and principles. We have to,
mm-hmm.
because there's a system set up, and we know who the God of that system is, and that system is designed to cause everyone, not just Christians, to cause everyone to fall into corruption, to fall into sin.
Mm-hmm.
That system is designed to cause us to compromise our beliefs and our values. Them hates
mm-hmm.
God, and it hates man too. See, that's the thing that we have to take a step back and look at, Reverend Curtin. The system hates God, but the system also hates man. That's why it's constantly trying to get man to degrade himself. You know, that's why the system is, I mean, for instance, look at the system of the entertainment system. The entertainment world, look how it's set up. You know, if you really look at most of those people in the entertainment industry, they're not happy. They're not truly satisfied. I mean, I can't speak for all of them, but how can you be when you have to serve that master at the end of the day? And Jesus said you can't serve two masters. Either you're going to love one and hate the other, or hate one and love the other. And he was talking about God and money, but money is the currency that the world system is fueled off of.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a Christian, we have to be careful. All these gospel singers out here, you know, everybody wants to be famous. Everybody wants to be on TV. Everybody wants to be entertained. Everybody wants to have name recognition. And that includes pastors and everybody else. They want to have all that stuff, but they need to understand one thing. The system is not set up for the kingdom of God to flourish. It's not, because it was set up by the enemy. So we can't love God and love the world. The, Bible says the love of the Father is not in you, neither can it be. Because there's another, mm-hmm. quote-unquote, father you have to embrace in order to be successful in the world system. We mm-hmm. are to seek to be successful in the kingdom of God, not the world system. See, Jesus was successful in the kingdom of God. He established the church within the world system because he wanted to bring the kingdom of God from heaven to the earth. Why? To go against that world system. See, so God's kingdom from heaven can be spread all over the earth. That was the idea from the very beginning with the Garden of Eden. The garden was mm-hmm. to be spread all over the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to keep in mind, Reverend Kearney, that if we're going to embrace the world system, we cannot wholeheartedly operate in the kingdom of God.
Amen. Amen. Ella Hurst, I know you have something to come back with on that. And before we have you to come back on that, what you just shared, adding on. Those of you, if you'd like to make a comment again, feel free to give us a call right here. We are live at the studios here in Raleigh, North Carolina, the NFI Radio Gospel Network. The number to call, 347-215-8049. Again, that's 347-215-8049. Ella Hurd, as you come forward to make that statement following him, Brother Booker, while she's talking, I want you to, if you could pull up 1 John 2:15. After she finished, I would love for you to read that, 1 John 2:15. Ella Hurd, is it possible for a Christian to love God and love the world?
No. It's not possible. And that's just like, let's put it in a parable like Jesus would do. If you say, for instance, if a man had two women, he had a wife, and he loved that wife, but for some stupid reason, he decided, I'm going to have a mistress too. 99% of the time, if it come right down to it, and he has to give up one, when he gets caught, he got to give up one, that mistress got to go. So he didn't love her. He just liked her a lot. But he loved that wife. And we have to understand that the devil is trying to figure out how to make you miss the mark. He's basically trying to keep you from being focused. And that's what you need to be when you say you're saved and is to be focused, because if you're focused on the Lord, you can't see what them folks doing over there. And like the man said, when he said, well, I'm not going back to church. And the pastor asked him, so, well, why are you not going back to church? He said, well, the people in there, they're playing with the telephones and they're talking and they're doing this. He said, well, how did you see what they were doing? You see, we can't be focused on what those people are doing because it will cause us to lose our focus. And yes, we become aggravated. It's something that in your spirit that doesn't agree with what's going on over there. So we need to focus on Christ. And our every aim is to please Christ.
Amen. Amen. It's to please Christ. I like what you said, and adding on a little bit with that, because when we talk about loving God and love the world and thinking about a lot of these new bills or laws have been changed and turned around, and we as Christians, sometimes we can fall into that diver's temptation of going along with the world. Because of the laws changing doesn't mean that you have to change with the law. And then addressing, that's why I asked Brother Book to pull that up. I know people get offended when you bring it out, but that's loving the world when you're turning the word of God around and saying it's okay for two women to be married, two men to be married. That's not of God. That's of the world. And you can make your statement and say, I was born this way and all the other, but you do not see anywhere in the Bible that it said marry two men and two women. It said man and woman. And there cannot be any production. Production, that means birth from two men or two women. God came into the world that we all may have life, that more in abundance. How can life be birthed from two of the same sex? Brother Booker, can you read that scripture for me?
Okay, great. Do not love the world, nor the sin that's in this world. For he that loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
Okay, right there, before you even go any further. He said, do not love the world or the, what in the world? The sin, right?
Yes, sir.
Is that sin? Two of the same sex married together? Is that a sin? Is it? That's the question I want to ask.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes.
That's a
is that of the world?
Yes.
Is that of the world?
It's of the world.
It's of the world,
is it
yes.
of God? Is it of God?
Absolutely not.
Okay. All right. Now, my next question, and I'm going to stop talking. My next question is, we're talking about the enemy, the adversary, and he's doing what he do best. And what he's doing, one of the great things he's doing, I don't give him no credit, but he's doing it. He's keeping the saints and men and women of God silent. Silent. The only time we can talk is in the church. It's like I got you in this box. As long as you're in that box, you can't get out what God needs to be brought out to the people that are hurting, that's walking in darkness. Do you hear me?
I hear you.
Okay.
But Reverend Kern, all the way from the beginning when they tried to shut the Christians up, and we're not getting persecuted the way that some in other countries are. But from the very beginning, the devil wanted to shut Jesus up. Anything that pertained to Jesus, we can pray in the name of God as long as we don't use the name Jesus. You see, Jesus is what saved us and what pulled us out of hell and what gave us a desire to want to be closer to God. And the devil knows that, and he knows if we do anything in the name of Jesus, we're going to have what we say. And that's what he doesn't want. The devil's argument is not with us, it's with God. And that's just like if you can bother me, you can slap my face and get away with it, but don't bother with my children. And that's the way God is. Don't bother with his children, because if you do, you're going to look in his face.
Brother Booker, would you like to add on to that?
Most certainly, Reverend Kearney. We have to understand, too, I want to make this abundantly clear, because some people think that there is a battle between God and the devil. There's not a battle. I need to make that clear, because he's defeated. He's nowhere near and will never be on God's level. You know, it's the devil and God. No, it's not. He's nowhere near God's level. God created him. He didn't create God. He's the created thing. God is not. God have always been. So I need to clear that up, because people are thinking that, you know, he is when he's not. And because of that, that's the reason that he's defeated, the Bible says. He's defeated. The Bible says he is the defeated foe. It also says that Jesus made an open spectacle of him. See, when it comes to the things of this world system, when we begin to operate, by the things of this world system. We're operating at the lowest level that man mm-hmm. can operate at. We are partaking of the things that are detestable, the things that God hates. It's man operating at his lowest function, because the Bible says we're born in mm-hmm. sin. We're shaping iniquity. See? We're operating at the base nature of mankind.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to know that if I want a better life, now don't get me wrong, there's some things I can change, there's some things I can do, you know, that there are sinners that's living a probably a lot better material life than we're living. But we know that life doesn't consist in the abundance of things, Jesus said.
Mm-hmm.
We have to operate. When we operate in the kingdom of God, we're functioning at the highest level. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit living in us. We have all the power of heaven flowing through us. We're operating at the maximum level a man or woman can operate at when we operate
mm-hmm.
in the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. why would we want to partake? Once we get our mind right, Reverend Kearney, why would we want to partake of the things of the world that we can help it? Because we know that those things don't come to bless us. Those things come to bring us down, to deter us. See, the enemy hates us, like I said. He hates Jesus, because Jesus is going to judge him, and we're going to be right there with Jesus judging him. See, we're mm-hmm. in the earth right now, disrupting his plans. See, we're in the earth right mm-hmm. now, causing chaos for him. We're in the earth right now. Mm-hmm. God is using us in the earth right now to bring his kingdom to this earth, that his love may flow through men and women, that they might give their life to Jesus Christ and learn how to live an abundant life. But if you are mm-hmm. trying to be friends with the world, if you are trying to use the world as a platform, which you never see Jesus doing in Scripture or anybody else, using the world as a platform to launch your career or to come side by side and act like, you know, it's okay. No, it's not okay, because the devil is playing for keeps. Mm-hmm. He don't take no prisoners. Mm-hmm. He plays for keeps. And Jesus said, I've come to set you free. So I said all that, Reverend Kearney, to say that we have to be extremely careful when it comes to what we are involved in and what we are dealing with, because everything in this world system, again, has come to separate us and cause us to fall into sin. And we know the wages of sin is death. So when you operate in sin, mm-hmm. you put the devil in the driver's seat.
That's a good thing what you just said, Brother Booker. You said this system, and I'll come back with that. But I want you to hold that thought, Ella Harris. We're gonna take a 30-second break, and when we come back, we're gonna continue this topic on To Beat the Odds. Is, as a Christian, is it possible to love God and love the world? We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Robert Davis with Disability Claiming Consultants. Are you sick or been injured on your job and tried to get your disability benefits through Social Security and been denied? Don't get frustrated. There's help for you. For over 30 years, I have helped over 1,000 people throughout North Carolina get their benefits they deserve. Give me a call today at 252-492-8715. Again, help you can count on. Call me, 252-492-8715. Thank you.
Welcome back to the program. That's Mr. Robert Davis. If you need assistance with your disability, trying to get disability, well, that gentleman is a consultant, and he's right here in North Carolina, and you can call him by that number, and he will definitely answer your call and get you the help you need. I know him personally, and he is a good man. All right, well, welcome back to Beat the Odds. And we are live here from the studios again. You can call in and make your comment at 347-215-8049. The topic, as a Christian, is it possible to love God and love the world? All right, let's get back into the discussion. Ella Harris, you know, he was talking about the system because, you know, the world, the system is in the world, you know. It's a part of what we see and a lot of things that people say, well, everybody else doing it, so I'm going to do it. And that, as a Christian, you should have a second thought just because everybody else doing it. That don't mean you should do it if you know it's not right. And there's a lot of things that are going on as a Christian that because the system says it's okay, we're doing it too.
Amen. I like to say, you know, we just can't do what everybody else do. It's like at one time we was at a church function. There were games that they were playing. And they said, Elder Hash, you going to play? I said, nope. Mm-mm. You never give a devil a stick to crack my head with. Because as soon as I play this game with you, and then I stand up in the pulpit to preach to you, the first thing you're going to say, she need to sit down. So what I would rather do is sit down before I play the game. And then I've got a right to tell you what thus says the Lord. You see, and that's one of the tricks that the devil uses. He's a trickster. If he can get your focus away from what it is you're doing, away from God, and that's his main thing, let's get this person's focus away from God. Because if we can get this person's focus away from God, then we can get them to do anything else we want them to do. And I refuse to go along with the crowd because that's what the crowd do. Now, the biggest thing that church folks go back and talk on is homosexuality and divorce. Now, that's the two big things. Now, we understand that there's going to come a time that you're going to get a divorce and there's nothing that you can do about it because you can't help it. If some person walks off and leaves you, and then that's most of the time when the devil can trick your head or when you become widow or widowed at a very young age. The devil then can say, okay, well, you got these needs. Let's meet these needs. But you see, what I understand is this, and it took me a long time to learn it because I was a young woman when my husband died. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, I understood I couldn't love the world and love God at the same time, and I had to let something go. So, and I understand that all of the men that came up in my faith were, if they couldn't come home with me, then they weren't thinking about me. I think I said that nicely enough. They wanted to come home with me. No, you don't get my address. You don't get to come up in my house with me. Nope. I got to turn something loose and it's you. Because I understand this. When Jesus cracked that eastern sky, I don't want to have any, not only do I don't want any sin with me, I don't want any weights either. I don't want something that's called cause me to be so heavy that I can't get up and take off with him when he comes. Because make no mistake about it, he's coming, and it's not going to be a long time. And he got to know that I love him, but I can't do everything everybody else is doing. And then tell him, well, I love you. No, Because see, hear my thing. You can't tell me that you love me and every time I turn around, you slap in my face. And that's what we do when we take off and try to do everything that everybody around us is doing. We can't do it. Well, we can do it, but if we do it, that means we don't love him.
All right, Brother Booker.
I definitely agree with what Elder Harris said, and you know, we have to understand that the Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, God will lift up a standard, or raise up a standard. So that means that we have to set a standard or abide by the standard that we have been given. You know, we have to live by a standard. And, you know, the Lord was speaking to me on this a few weeks ago. And there's a standard of living that we have to maintain. You know, when I was in the world, I like going to the club. See, I like doing other things. And I wasn't trying to change it for nobody. You know why? Because that was my standard. See, that was my standard of living. There's some people, they love, you know, what they do. They like smoking, or they like drinking. Or that's their standard. And they're not going to stop doing it for you and nobody else. They have decided to commit themselves to a standard of living. And what we have to understand is we, by default, by accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, has accepted the standard that comes with who he is and what he represents. And that's why, you know, we're saved, we're being saved, and we shall be saved. That's why it's called progressive sanctification. See? It's called progressive sanctification. Sanctification means to be set apart. God is progressively setting us apart as we grow as a Christian, as we continue to walk with him. He progressively sets us apart. See, it's called progressive sanctification. They don't use them words in church no more.
No,
so we cannot compromise our standard. See, if we want to be like Christ, Jesus did not compromise his standard. They tried to get him to do it. Master, master, you know, they want you to be king. Jesus took out running. I ain't being nobody king, not no earthly king. See? Because he knew what he was supposed to do. He had a standard. His standard was him to be the heavenly king, not the earthly king. That's why he told Pontius Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. See? So, we cannot, Reverend Kearney, compromise the standard, and that's what the world has been very successful at getting us to do, little bit by little bit. See, when they want to reach the youth, what they do, they bring in hip-hop in church because we want to reach the youth. Well, so you're going to reach the youth with the very thing they already got? If they already got it and it ain't working for them, that would make you think it's going to work for them now. Just because you throw Jesus' name in there. See, that's compromising the standard. See, so when we do that, we not only put our own or put our own salvation in jeopardy. What we do is we open up the door for the enemy, because anywhere there's darkness, he has a legal right, a spiritual legal right to operate, period. Because he is the darkness. So anywhere that we acting like him, he has a legal right to control that situation, step in and manipulate that situation. That's why we have to be careful. That's why we can't yield our minds. You know, they say a mind is a terrible thing to waste. It sure is, especially if you're wasting it on things of this world system. Because once you give the enemy your mind, he's going to drive you crazy. So we have to be very careful, Reverend Kearney, that we maintain the standard of living that Christ has set before us.
Amen. Amen. While we're still talking on that, and you said something that I believe that would go right with that of scripture, 1 John 1:1, if you could find that while we are talking, me and Ella Harris, if you could find that for me. And those of you would love to call in, feel free to give us a call right here at 347-215-8049. We are right here live to hear your comment and address that is going on around the world. And we see so many things and tragic incidents that are happening, and we're wondering, why is this happening? It just seems unbelievable. The Bible lets us know these are perilous times. Isn't that right, Ella Hurt?
Yes, it is perilous times. It's very perilous times. And as a matter of fact, it's just as perilous for us in some cases as it was for Paul when he was shipwrecked. And that's what the devil wants to do to us, is shipwreck us. And I don't want to be shipwrecked. 1 John 1:1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. Keep reading.
Yes.
For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen. With the Father and the Son, okay. Jesus Christ. I know you could go a little bit more, but it ain't say anything about no fellowship with the enemy.
No. Mm-mm.
So
no.
If you are fellowshipping, that's a statement itself. That's why the word let us know, come out from among them and be separated. If you're going to be fellowshipping with that's involved with darkness and no light, how can you be a helper to someone else?
You can't. And you know what, Reverend Curran? And I just became aware of what my mother was doing when all around her could be a lot of stuff going on. And she would be sitting right in the middle of them reading her Bible. You know, I didn't understand it at the time. Having that the music could be blasting and going on, and people would be doing whatever it is they do. And she'd be sitting right in the middle of it reading her Bible. And when you ask her something, she would look up like she didn't even realize that stuff was going on, because her mind was focused on the Lord. And that's the way she was. She had a husband that mistreated her, that did crazy stuff, but that didn't bother her, because she would get right into her word and she would just be reading that word, and every once in a while she would say, mm-hmm.
I'm your host, Thurl and Kearney, and once again, we want to thank all of you so much for catching the wave. Those of you just joining us, we're talking on a topic this morning with several of the panel here as well, live here. And the topic is, as a Christian, is it possible to love God and love the world? And if you would love to call in and share your comment, you can feel free to give us a call right here at 347-215-8049. That's 347-215-8049. I do see we have a caller, and just going to ask them if they would like to make a comment. Would you like to make a comment, call? All right, well, they must not want to make a comment, but we thank you for locking in with us on this morning. We certainly appreciate you. All right, let's get back to the discussion, Brother Booker. Now, we want to remember now, we understand what the love of the world is all about. And it is not getting any better. It's getting worse. So my question to you, as a Christian, how are we to carry ourselves in this society that we see a dying generation?
Well, you know, only one word comes to mind when you make that statement, Reverend Kearney, and that's integrity. You know, that's a word that you don't hear much of anymore either in the church. But integrity is how Jesus carried himself. And that doesn't mean we're not going to make mistakes. That doesn't mean we're going to cross, you know, every T and dot every I. But that means that we are putting forth the well-intentioned effort to do the right thing at all times, even when nobody's looking. You know, we have to walk in integrity. We have to, because that's our protection. You know, there's a principle of authority. God's plan to protect my life. When I abide under the authority of the Word of God, my life is protected. And that does not mean that things will not happen, because we live in a fallen world. But our lives are protected because we're operating under the authority of the Word. That puts us in a position. We are in the best place we can be in, spiritually, physically, emotionally. See, when we're out here in this world, we have to understand that everything is vying for our attention. There are distractions everywhere. Everything wants to get your attention. Everything wants to get you to put your energy into it. You know, there are all kinds of issues and all kinds of situations going on, you know, things at home, things at work, you know, things in the media. And everything wants your attention. And if you give it your attention, you'll never be able to focus and concentrate on what the most important person in your life is. You know, we have to get our priorities in order, and our priorities should start with God first. See, that's how our priority list should start, with God first. That don't mean we're going to do, again, everything right. That don't mean we're not going to have situations to come up. That don't mean we're not going to fail. That don't mean we're not going to sin. What it means is that as long as I have my priorities in order, I know I'm going to be okay. See, I know I'm going to be able to love myself, love God, love my neighbor. Because when I start off my day, my first priority is the one that has given me the day to start off with. See, that's Jesus Christ. So, you know, Reverend Kearney, we have to make sure that we walk in integrity, because integrity is what protects us from that compromise. It protects us from the corruption. Integrity protects us from the lies and the deceit and the fear. See, integrity says that we do not have to give in, and we do not have to fear. We can make the right choices. We can do the right thing in spite of everything else that's going on around us. You know, we can do it and may not get it back in return. That's not the point. The point is you did it because that's what where the blessing is. That's what blessed our lives. So that's what comes to my mind, Reverend Kearney, integrity.
Amen. All right. Well, Elder Hurd, I want to thank all of you and great people like Reverend Dantes Lee, Reverend Robert E. Ellison, and several other the awesome men of God that's been a part of To Beat the Odds along since I've been hosting, and those that call in and made great comments. I've enjoyed as host of the Beat the Odds broadcast, as well as you all part of it. I just thank God for the opportunity, and know it's going to get better and greater as you bring it forward. So, Elder, on that note, will you take us out with prayer on today?
Okay. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you, God. We thank you, God, for this discussion that we've had, and Lord, we hope some eyes have been opened to let the saints know that they can't do what everybody else do. And Lord, we just thank you, God, for the Brother Booker being the new person that's going to head up this show. Lord, you give him courage, God, and give him strength, God, and give him every kind of topic that we need to discuss, that people can come crying, what must I do to be saved? Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. We glorify you, we praise you, we honor you. Amen.
All right. Well, we thank you again for Beat the Odds, and pray that you receive the word on today. Standing by, coming forth live, is Apostle Rupert Skinner from Jamaica, Queens, New York. with Speak the Word Ministries. Coming up next, right here from the NFI Studios in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Friend, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. To Melissa C., my daughter, to her husband, Ro-Ro, my son-in-law, to Sakeith B., and her husband, Sean B., to my brother Leslie and his loving wife, Susie, to my brother Marvin and his wife, Pastor Marvin and Freakway Barina, to my daughter, and grandchildren, Benay, Ava, Sean, and July, to Pastor Kearney, and to the Beat the Odds Group, one of my favorite listening programs. I love you, Pastor Kearney, and I love that group. I thank God for Beat the Odds. To Apostle Timothy, my son, who should be in the state of California. You know, he's a model, slash, singer, slash, songwriter, and he's in Chicago, he's in California, being interviewed, being produced. God bless you, Timothy. To Minister Dimitri, and to Elena. Elena, many years has been lost. No, not because she was a wife or a lover, but because she was a friend, and space has separated us. Moving away and going different places. But I thank the Lord that my best friend, Elaine, is back in my life. Hopefully we'll finally write that book, my book, my seven visitations in heaven. Oh, yeah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God, Jehovah. To Peachy, my niece, a.k.a. Patricia in Fort Greene. To the hosts that love you the most, God bless. I have a simple message this morning. So simple, yet so profound. Hallelujah, Lord God. I got to keep my feet on the ground, people. I got to keep my feet on the ground. Apostle, what are you talking about? Listen, once I learned how to partnership with He, the Holy Spirit, and I begin to walk in revelation, and I begin to walk in the supernatural, it's not so easy to keep my feet on the ground. If you read the book of Job 33:14-17, it says, for God speak once, yea, twice, and man perceive it not, in a vision, in a dream, upon slumbering in the bed. God opens the ear of man and seal man's instruction, that He may withdraw man from pride, because God obeys pride. What are you saying? Once God begins to talk to you, it's easy to get lifted up. It's easy to get caught up beyond who you are. You forget that He that's in you is much greater than he that's in the world. We forget that we need to take heed to ourselves when we think we're something, wherein we're nothing, until we get the Holy Ghost. My message is so simple yet so profound, so beyond anyone's purpose, yet invading our lives. Jesus said, I will never leave thee, nor will I forsake thee. Words taken so lightly, words taken so lightly, as most of God's word is taken lightly. God's word has become taken so lightly that it oftentimes become a cliche. Jesus said in Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all things, whatsoever thing I have commanded you. And watch this, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. I think this is oftentimes not gathered for the message of what Jesus was trying to say to us. We have made God's word a cliche. We have made God's word, which is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Oh, God. Ah, good God from glory. I can't help it. It's something about the word that overtakes me. It's something about the word that in it is my movement and my being. Word reaching into our lives. Listen to this. Word so inspirational. Word so governing. Words reaching into our lives of weakness. I want you to hear that. Words that reach into our lives of weakness. Words that would strengthen us in our delusions of lost hope. I said God's word will strengthen us in our delusions of lost hope. I hope you heard that. I remember an out-of-body experience I had many years ago with the Lord Jesus Christ. When he came to me literally and took me to the valley in shadow of death, we together walked and stepped over valleys and mountains of the dead. Valleys and mountains of nothing but death. The Lord Jesus literally came and gave me an out-of-the-body experience. He took me to the valley in the shadow of death, just like he took Ezekiel to the valley of dry bones. I didn't realize how often this experience has helped me to conquer many battles and many fears. What a pity that I often forgot this profound walk that I had with Jesus. It was a victory walk. I want y'all to hear that. When I walked with Jesus through the valley and shadow of death, and we began to step over death together, I had no idea that it was a victory walk. Telling me and showing me the many life victories that he had already given to me. Many victories that were years ahead of their time. Did you see that? God was showing me the many victories that he had given to me long before situations arose in my life, long before circumstances arose, long before things happened in my life that he knew was going to overtake me. He gave me the victory way back then. It was the year my daughter Melissa Faye was born. when my life was devastated, when I was discombobulated and couldn't find my way. A young man in South Jamaica, New York, had everything going for me. Even had Christ in my life, but I didn't often partnership with him like I should have. How often do we cow down and fold to life's challenges and life situations? How often do we cow down and fold to life circumstances, life tragedies, life mishaps, when Jesus already told us that we win? Jesus said, I will never leave you. Yet, we remain afraid and without hope after he made such a declaration. Words that we read over. Words that don't take root. Words that don't go into our heart. Words that don't explode. Words that don't ignite. Words that don't touch the senses. Words that don't ignite the spirit man. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And the first thing that happens when your back is up against a wall, you become afraid. You cower down. You fold. You throw in the towel because you didn't understand what he said. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Well, good God. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Yet we remain afraid without hope after he made such a declaration. You know what I like about Jesus? Let me show you something. I just got finished sharing with you how when he took me to the valley and shadow of death and gave me victories, this was in 1990 when I walked with him through the valley. I had no idea that everybody I stepped over was a victory. I had no idea that this was showing me the things, the circumstances that was coming against me that he already gave me the victory over. I want to read something from Lamentation that go with this. And y'all know this is one of my favorite scriptures. Lamentation chapter 3, verse 21 through 23. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. In other words, Jeremiah. Back have been against the wall. Hando robo sha nika rando robo kuto robo sake oto robo kuto robo sha nika rando robo kuto robo sha. Jeremiah, back has been against the wall so many times. You remember when he said, "I will no longer go out in his name." He said, "But his word was like fire set up in my bones." He's saying, "This I recall to my mind." All the situations of lost hope. All the times that I've given up. All the times when I got discombobulated and no longer wanted to serve him. He said, it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Now look at this. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. What is he saying? Every day before you arise upon your bed, every day before you awaken and your eyes open, God have already given you, good God from glory, God have already given you what you needed. God gave you what you needed to face the day. God gave you what you needed to face the circumstance. God gave you what you needed to face the situation. God gave you what you needed to face whatever it is that you're going to face. Isn't that something? God, I didn't compare these things together because I didn't understand. Then it says, the Lord is my portion, save my soul. Therefore, will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seek him. My God from glory. Do y'all see it? Do you see it? What we need, he gives us everything that we need. He gives us victory. And every time we take a look at this, listen, the Lord showed me something. Let me kind of slow down a little bit. Such an impact of revelation and truth for victories every day. Now combine this. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee with Lamentation. And then go to Psalms 23 and 4. Oh, I want to show you something. I want to show you something in Psalms chapter 23 and verse 4. I want you to see this. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Listen, people, I'm not even going to verse 5 because I want to say right there in verse 4. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He didn't say, I am with you. He didn't say, you know, like you have a buddy or a friend that says, hey, man, we are together. That's not what he was saying. He said, for thou art with me. Just as in the Lord's Prayer, Father, which art in heaven. Y'all don't get this because you're so busy looking at the Hebrew. You're so busy looking at the Greek that you can't reach into the mind of the Holy Spirit and receive what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. God art with me. What are you saying, Brother Skinner? Apostle, what does that mean? For thou art with me. We miss what he said. God continues to write the script. God continues to create a way out. God artistically draws and writes. God commands a way out. He creates a way out. A way out of every situation. Out of every circumstance. Because that's what he does. You didn't hear me. That's who he is. And that's what he does. God creates new plans of victory. God on the spot. Because his word declares in Psalms, to be still and know that I am God. You see, God loves to show us who he is. He is what you need him to be. He told Moses, tell them, I am that I am. What do you mean? I am what you need me to be. I'm not a mystical God. I'm not a mysterious God. I'm a God that comes down into your life. I'm a God that invades your personal space. I'm a God. I'm personal. I'm there with you. A lot of people don't get this because they're still caught up on religion. A lot of people can't get this because they're caught up on tradition. A lot of people can't get this because other people won't allow them to get it. Listen, it's not magic. It's not hocus pocus. It's God. Have you ever realized that God made you a winner? Even when you feel like giving up, the victory was already given to you at Calvary. Listen, he's a present help in a time of trouble. Look at that. When trouble comes, he's right there, God on the spot. Oh, if you can only see that. When trouble comes, he's right there, God on the spot. He's a God of action. He'll take action. You know, you've been taught so much to pray 21 days a night. You've been taught to do this, and you've been taught to do that, that you got God in the box. You won't allow God to work. You stop God from creating. You are creator, made in the image of God, and God can't even partnership with you because you're blocking him. I said you're blocking him when life circumstances parade on the apostles. Hey, the apostles. I lift my hands and I say, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, talk to me. Holy Spirit, tell me what to do. Holy Spirit, I trust in you. I don't fall apart. I don't get nervous. I talk to he, the Holy Ghost. I partnership with him. So therefore, when a situation arises in my life, he say, peace, be still. I calm the storm in my life. Why? Because my mind is stayed on him. He's a present help in a time of trouble. And he died on Calvary to interact with us. Can I show you something that happened? About 3 a.m. this morning, I had another out-of-body experience. I didn't say I had a vision. I didn't say I had a dream. I had an out-of-body experience. And the Lord Jesus Christ was standing with me. And he had his hand around my side. and we stood above situations and circumstances. We stood above disturbances. We stood above everything that can approach our lives. I mean, we was suspended in the air as we looked upon all these things that were beneath us. And I'm looking at this, but I didn't understand. And after I came to myself, because, you know, after you have out-of-body experience, you got to be still and know that he's God. You have to ask the Holy Spirit, okay, Holy Spirit, what were you saying in this? Because you can so easily miss what God was saying. Pride can come in and you think, I'm all of that. No, the apostle's not all of that. I love the Lord. I said, I love the Lord. And I learned how to partnership with the Holy Ghost. Well, let me share with you what the Holy Spirit said to me. He said, you're living above the circumstance. I want you to see the circumstance. I want you to understand the situation. I want you to know that you win. You have total victory. The Bible tells us, watch this, in Psalms 37. I'm going to Psalms 37 because I want to open to you what the Lord was saying to me in Psalms 37. Here we go, Psalms 37. And I'm going to verse 3, 4, and 5. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and truly thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Now watch this. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Wait a minute. Jesus, David, whoever wrote this, just made a declaration of telling us all these things to do. It's telling us to trust him. It's telling us to delight in him. It's telling us to commit our way to him. It's telling us to rest in him. And it's telling us to wait for him. Well, guess what? These oftentimes are not possible. You know why they're not possible? Because of all the distractions of life. The Bible says to be sober, to be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, he walks about as a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Now, we Christians, so we don't get intoxicated with liquor and with marijuana and with cocaine and with crack. At least we're not supposed to. So what are the things that intoxicate Christians? Your thoughts. Your thought life intoxicates you. The Bible says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. I remember one day I was walking to work, and I said, Holy Spirit, I give you my thoughts. And the Holy Spirit said to me, I don't want your thoughts. And when he said that, that thing shook in me. He didn't want my thoughts. My thoughts were toxic. Well, if he didn't want my thoughts, what was I supposed to do? I was supposed to learn how to disengage from that foolishness. The Bible tells us not to be carnal. The Bible says, for the carnal mind is at enmity with God. So what was God saying to me? He showed me. Listen, Jesus said, oh, listen, can I just take a minute? Can I just take a minute and go to Matthew? I want to go to Matthew chapter 6 because I want to read it. I want to read it to you because, you see, these are the things that discombobulate you. These are the things that undress you. These are the things that mess you up. Now look at this. Therefore I say unto you, this is Matthew chapter 6 and 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, and yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more than they? Much better than they. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to your stature? And why take ye thought? Jesus is telling us, take no thought. But all these things arise and they govern you. All these things arise and they baffle you. All these things arise and they confuse you. All these things arise and they get you discombobulated. And the thing is, he gave us the victory. The Bible said it'd be clothed in white raiment. Why are you so bottled down with thoughts that don't belong to you? The devil will accuse you of this, and the devil will accuse you of that, and you take the accusation. People talk about you, and you're paraded in doubt. You're paraded in malfunction. You're paraded in confusion. You're depressed. You're oppressed. You're discombobulated. You're messed up. Well, the Lord gave me an out-of-body experience. And listen, I've been doing these things before I had the out-of-body experience. So don't think Apostle is excited because the Lord gave me a new revelation. Y'all know the Apostle been teaching these things. But how marvelous it is to see the Lord Jesus once again, for him to visit me and let me know that I told you I'll never leave you. I told you I'll never forsake you. I'm with you even until the end of the world. What world? Listen, what world? The end of this world, and when this world ends, we go into another. When this world ends, we go into eternity. When this world ends, we go to be with him. I tell you, it is just a wonderful thing. Take no thought. We are so discombobulated with circumstances, with all these things. He tells us to love not the world, nor the things that are in the world, but we love those things. I said, we love those things. You know, it's amazing. I've met so many millionaires. I have friends that's millionaires. Is the Apostle a millionaire? No. In fact, the Apostle broke. I got a broken down car that don't even run. I'm forced to take public transportation to work every day. It takes me 3 hours to get to work and 3 hours to get home. But I'm not complaining. You know why? Because God gave me durable goods. These so-called rich millionaires, and these pastors with these mega churches, guess what? They got to come to the apostle to get a word from the Lord. And that makes me scratch my head. You got thousands of members, and you don't know the voice of God. You have thousands of members. You done been to the Bible college. You done learned this, and you done learned that. You got all these people praying for you, but you got to come to the apostle to get a word from God. I don't have the fine things that you have, but I have he, the Holy Ghost. I said, I have he, the Holy Ghost, and I learned the partnership with him. Thank God for Jesus. I said, I thank God for Jesus. People compare their finer things. People compare their accomplishment, but yet they come to the apostles. They got all these fine cars, and oh, my God, they're ecstatic over worldly things that can't compare to the things that Jesus said in Proverbs chapter 8. Listen, I want to share something with you. Here's a revelation, and this is something you won't get. Behind every action, there's a reaction. Well, let God diffuse the bad reaction and create a good one. Did you hear what I just said? Behind every action, there's a reaction. They say you reap what you sow. But you see, if you learn how to take God out the box, God can take confusion out of confusion. God can, oh, my Lord, my Lord. You see, behind every action, there's a reaction. Well, let God create a new reaction. Let God be God. Don't put God in the box. Take God out of the box. I said, let God be God. The Bible says, or should I say, we sing, let God arise and let the enemy be scattered. Let God create a diversion for the enemy. I said, let God that we serve create a diversion for the enemy. Well, Pastor Kearney, you know my time is up. I want to remind the people that Jesus is alive and well. And I want to remind the people, for what shall it profit a man to gain the world and lose his own soul? My thoughts are not your thoughts. Oh, God bless, God bless, God bless. Pastor Kearney, I'm dropping the baton. I'm giving it back to you. I'm dropping the mic. Now, that's a cliche. But what is not a cliche, Caesar is alive and well. It's yours, Pastor Kermit. Take it back.
Apostle Skinner,
yes,
God bless you, and what a powerful word today, and you said so much there, and I wanted to ask you, out of all that you shared, and you talk about trusting in the Lord, and talk about the distraction, what is one of your most powerful keys that you would leave with them today to stick with from what you stated?
I've learned something that the Lord showed me. The Lord told me to be still. And he told me to speak with him in my heart upon my pillow. When I talk to God in my heart, not my lips, but in my heart, the distractions can't get in. The Bible says I'm in the secret place, and I'm overshadowed with the presence. If we just get our mind on the Lord, because it says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. So the key is to keep your mind on him. If your mind is on him, the other things can't get in. That's the best way to say it. He operates because he's alive and he's well and he's real. He's not mystical. He's a friend that's a bit closer than a friend. He's closer than a brother. He's closer than a mother. So when circumstances come, don't look at the circumstance. When the situation comes, don't look at the situation, because their purpose is to distract you from God. Look at God. Did I say that right?
Yes, you did. And that's the trick of the enemy. That's his job. That's what he do best, is try to distract.
Right?
Because he come to steal, kill, and to destroy. But what did you say Christ came to do?
To give life. He came to give life and give it more abundantly. He came to give us the victory. He gave us the victory many, many years ago on Calvary. And we walk in victory. We just got to learn the key. Not to be distracted by the circumstance, by the situation, by life's ongoing thing. Keep our minds stayed on him and we'll have perfect peace and won't be distracted. We got to grab hold to God's unchanging hand. Oh, good God from glory. Don't you
Apostle,
love a man?
Oh, I love it. Apostle, yes, you know, when you are saying that, what came to mind is that there are people that are listening around the world with you today, and they don't realize how much power they have, and because they don't realize it, they allow the enemy to shift them into a different direction, but not walking with the power that God has invested in them.
That's right. That's right. And as you said, that's the trick. Just as Moses threw down his rod, and Pharaoh's servant that Jannabis and Abis threw down, they imitated what Moses was doing. But the thing is, Moses' servant ate their servant. Satan always has a decoy. Satan always have a fox. Satan always have an imitation. But we serve the true and living God. And we got to keep our minds off the imitation. And that's why he said, love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. Because if our love, listen, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are the things that overtake us. Those are the things that we surround ourselves with. And those three things take our minds away from God. Those three things are distractions. And they allow the distractions of the enemy to overtake us. But if we put our minds on him, for thou will keep him in perfect peace. Man, I don't care what comes. I would tell the people, forget about religion. And just to ask the Lord to come in their life. Ask the Lord to come into their life, surrender their life to the Lord, and God will not make you religious. He will give you fellowship with him. He will make you a son of God. God don't like religion, man. God wants a partnership with the human family because he created the human family. So we need to get our minds and focus back on God because it works.
Apostle, again, we thank you
so much for coming forth and emptying out each Monday right here at 10:15. Looking forward for you next Monday at the same time.
Bless you, and thanks for the opportunity. To God be the glory. And bless the Beat the Art group. I love them, guys.
You've been listening to Apostle Rupert Skinner from Jamaica, Queens, New York, with Speak the Word Ministries. Be sure to join him right here every Monday at 10:15 a.m. to 10:45 a.m. Eastern Standard Time here on the NFI Radio Gospel Network. I pray that you receive the word that he's brought forth today. We'll be right back with more great gospel music here from the NFI Studios in Raleigh, North Carolina. Jesus is alive and well.
How many people in here know that there are people that are in the world, you know, we complain about our circumstance all the time, but there are people in the world who are less fortunate than us. And sometimes they need a helping hand, you know. There are people all over the country that are homeless, you know, and you should help them out, you know. Give them something, you know, but be careful when you give them something, though, because sometimes them people try to trick you. Like the other day, a man helped me to something. He let me realize, you know, I was pulling up in a gas station, you know, I pull up, I'm about to go in and get my $1.50 worth of gas, you know. Oh, I'm the only one? Stop me if I'm lying. Now, time be hard. I just need enough to get home. Get that $1.50 worth of gas. I'm getting ready to go in, and this old man, you know, I noticed was walking up to me, so you know how y'all do. And he walked up here, hey, brother, let me talk to you. I said, go on, man, I ain't got it, man. Go on now. Quit playing, go on. He say, man, hold on, man. I ain't come to beg you for no money. I'm going to challenge you for it. I said, how you going to challenge me for my money? He said, look here. I'm going to ask you a question. And if you answer it right, I'm going to give you 3 chances to answer this question. If you get it right, I'll give you $2. But if you get it wrong, you got to give me $5. So I'm looking at this man saying, you know, I'm an educated brother. It ain't no question that this brother can think of that I can't answer. Plus, you know, I need some extra money for some gas. So I say, go ahead, brother. Ask me the question then. Go ahead. He say, brother, what is the strongest nation in the world? I say, the strongest nation in the world? Me being a proud black Afro-American man from Africa, the motherland, I say Africa. That's the strongest nation in the world. He say, you big dummy, that's a continent. You got 2 more chances. So I say strongest nation in the world, strongest nation in the world. Got to be a place with a lot of people and a lot of life. A lot of people and a lot of builders. A lot of people and a lot of technology. China, that's the strongest nation in the world. They smart and they got a lot of people. He said wrong again. Yeah, I say, well, strongest nation in the world. I start getting nervous, y'all. I say, strongest nation in the world. Why ain't think of it before? We standing right here in it. Land of the free, home of the brave. United States of America, that's the strongest nation in the world. He said, wrong again. I say, well, brother, if you so smart, you tell me what's the strongest nation in the world. He said, brother, the strongest nation in the world is a donation. Give me my $5. He wasn't lying either. That's the strongest nation, the donation.
Right.